Concordia Soccer sweeps Doan. Oh yeah. Volleyball wins in four, football loses to Morningside in a top 25 matchup, and basketball gets its season underway. All of this and more on Season 3, Episode 10 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Kyle Ulrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. Just the way you start the episode. Soccer sweeps Doan. What a way to start. What a way to start the podcast, man.
What a great day it was yesterday for most of Bulldog Athletics. We had the soccer teams. This week we've had volleyball do well. We've had women's basketball doing well. We've had cross country doing well. It's been a great week for Bulldogs. But we're going to start off on the low note of the week, and then we can build up to the high parts and have some fun.
See, but I like that. I like the idea of doing, like, starting from the low, like, just stirring the pot a little bit just to get ready for the big action. Because from the big to the small, the excitement goes away.
Bad news first. So we'll get that out of the way. Unfortunately, our Bulldog football team suffered its second loss of the season, this time to number 11 Morningside. So a very quality team, which has been to the playoffs so many years in a row. They've won nationals a couple times. It's been very good from them these last couple seasons.
Tell me how bad it was, or tell me the score.
So the score, 59-21. So pretty rough, especially on the defensive side. Offensively, we got some things going.
Right.
21 points is nothing to scoff at. You could win games with 21 points.
You could, but it's not a lot.
Unfortunately, on the defensive side especially, and the turnover side as well. Of course, you got to look at those turnovers, not just the defense's fault that you give up points. It got off to a pretty rough start. It was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Morningside extended it to 21-0 before we got on the board. 7-21, but then Morningside went on another big run as they made it 31-7. We brought it back to 14-31, and then they took it all the way to 52-14. We got a consolation, they got one again. So not a great day on both sides of the ball for Concordia. Total offense, we only had 247 yards compared to Morningside's 606.
Mm.
So pretty big discrepancy there. We were pretty much all passing game. 214, we only had 33 rushing yards. Morningside was pretty consistent. They were 375 passing, 231 rushing. Some individual stats for us. We had Gideon Stark with 211 yards. Pretty much all those passing yards came through him. He had one touchdown and three interceptions. So not the return you want there. Adam Van Cleve was doing it once again all over the field. He was our main rusher guy. So Carlos Collazo's still out injured. So Adam was in at running back. So he had 17 carries for just 35 yards. So he had pretty much all of our rushing yards as well. He had one touchdown rushing. He was also our best wide receiver on the yards statistic. So he had five catches for 69 yards. Maddox Rickardson, one of our tight ends, he got two receptions for 59 yards and a touchdown. So pretty good day for him. Peyton Atwood got, he was 3 for 3 on extra points, of course.
As usual.
You're not going to see him missing those unless it's blocked or something.
Right.
Not a ton of great things to talk about, honestly, in this one. And actually, if you want to talk about a really nice play, so you got Adam Van Cleve with the passing or the rushing touchdown.
Right.
Didn't get any passing, but he got a kickoff return.
Wait, there was a kickoff return?
There was a kickoff return. So our first touchdown is actually a kickoff return from Adam Van Cleve.
Okay, that's a start. I like
that.
So
it was a pretty short kick. Adam picked it up around our 20-yard line, took it 81 yards to the house. That was our first touchdown of the game to get a little bit of momentum back.
Right.
Obviously great for him just individually to get that against a really strong Morningside defense and special teams. So there's definitely good things to look at, but there's also some bad things to take away from it. Those 606 yards of offense giving up are not ideal. Penalties, we were fine. Just really that offense, the yards were the issue, basically. The very basics of they got more yards than us by a lot. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Another bright spot, I guess, would be actually our punter had a pretty good game. That was Braxton Koch. He had seven punts. Six of those seven landed within Morningside's 20-yard line. So pretty good from him.
Yep.
You need your punter to do well in those games or else you're going to put yourselves in some pretty bad spots. He was averaging 37 yards per punt. So not too shabby from him, but I think this game, it's one of those just on to the next. Still got a decent schedule ahead of us. Saturday, November 1st, is going to be a game versus Briarcliff.
Okay.
That's going to be, it should be a winnable game for sure. Briarcliff, of course, a strong team, but nothing I think the Bulldogs can't handle. Then you go on to the two toughest games remaining in the schedule. You got Dort on November 8th and Northwestern on November 15th. Both of those teams are ranked. Dort is a top 10 team right now. And then Northwestern is a top 25 team. They were within one ranking of us in the last coaches poll.
That is going to be a tough schedule to get ready to work with right there. It's going to be tough, but I think the Bulldogs can do it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if they have any hopes of getting a postseason game, it's going to be you have to win out.
Yeah, you got to win out.
They're 5-2 right now. They're going to need to beat Dort and Northwestern, essentially.
They're going to need some little help from other games, too, for if they want to make it as well, too, right?
Definitely. They will need some help, probably, because, the GPAC is one of the stronger conferences in NAIA football, so we're usually getting two bids for sure, usually getting a third one as well, so it's can you sneak in past one of Northwestern, Dort, and Morningside?
Yep.
One or two of them you're going to have to beat out.
All right. That's good. That's good.
So we're still in a spot to do some good things with the season, still in a spot to potentially make the playoffs, but we're going to need a really strong end of the season.
And I think they can do that.
And it's like Coach Rhule always says. He says, can you win in November? Those are the games that matter.
Yep.
And we've got three November games coming up, so we're going to have to win out in those.
Yeah. Now, speaking of winning now, obviously, we did the men's side. It's time for the women's side. Volleyball, winning four. Winning in four, right?
Yeah, winning in four sets. It's actually the first set they've lost in about five games. But
Long?
Yeah, it's been a while since they've lost a set.
Dang, that's actually hard for me to actually just comprehend at the moment right there.
Yeah, they've been doing really well all season long. They won this one, like you said, in four sets. 25-15, 25-17. St. Mary won it was against College of St. Mary. And then the third set, they won 19-25. And then we took the fourth set 25-22. Our hitting percentage was pretty good in this one. We hit 294 compared to St. Mary's 150, so pretty much doubled theirs. Just looking at some individual statistics, Ella Waters had herself a game. She was incredible in this one. She led the team in kills. She was tied with Ashley Keck with 18 kills. She did it on just 26 attacks, though. Just one error for a 654 kill percentage.
Dang.
And that was on a lot of attempts, too. It's not like she just got 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
It was 18 out of 26. You look at Ashley Keck, who's one of our better hitters. She's the one getting set the most every game. She had 18 kills on 46 attempts. And Ella Waters did the same in 26.
That is...
And Ashley had a good game, too. She hit 239. So she had a really solid game as well. 27 digs from her. She was one of our better players on the day.
Right.
And Ella Waters just was on it. Ava Green as well had a really efficient day hitting wise. She had 10 kills on 17 attacks with just one error for a 529. We had Molly Martin get 6 kills. We had a lot of blocks as well. So we talk about Ella Waters really good on the hitting. She was really good all over the net. She had 6 block assists as well. Ava Green with 4. Really good day from our girls up at the net. Mm. One of the reasons why St. Mary's hitting percentage was lower than ours is because we were able to block them a lot more than they were to us. We had the 16 block assists. College of St. Mary only had 8. So we were doing a lot better in pretty much every aspect up at the net. We had 73 digs. They had just 57. So the back row was also doing really well in this game. You think we had 73 digs, right?
Right.
And we blocked more than them. So that means we were sending more back over to them right away, and when they would get it past our blockers, we were returning more of those anyway.
That's a block party, in my opinion, right there.
A block party and a dig party.
Ooh, block and dig party.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So, here's a pretty winning formula. If you hit better than the other team, dig better than the other team, and block better than the other team, you're probably going to win.
That's three.
Three for three.
Three for three right there.
There we go. Three sets won. Just one dropped, so another solid game from the volleyball team. We've got an exciting matchup coming up on November 1st. right after the football game. This one will be in Fremont, though, so no home game against Midland University. That's always a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We played them once already this season. We ended up winning that one 3-1. That was here at home. So going to look to do the sweep there of Midland.
Oh,
go to their house and take them down.
Going back to Midland again. The game that was a little bit of, you know, like a trap game a little bit, right?
A little bit, yeah. It was pretty back and forth for a lot of it. So we've got the Midland game on November 1st, and then we've got our favorite orange team. Guess who it is?
Doan.
On November 4th, this one will be a home game.
I like how you say your favorite, Toby. You know that's a lie. You know that's such a lie, but you don't want to get canceled on this podcast when you said that.
Gotta be nice to them. So that'll be on Wednesday, November 4th. At Friedrich Arena, make sure you let's pack this house against Doan.
Let's pack it up. I mean, we gotta pack it up and show out.
Let's make it a fun atmosphere for our girls and a not fun atmosphere for them.
See, now speaking of a fun atmosphere, soccer did that. Bing and Doan having a trouble right there for men's and women's soccer.
Yes, so to go on to those soccer games for sure. Started off the evening with the men's soccer game. That was a pretty exciting one. It was back and forth for a lot of it. The scoreline was pretty back and forth for a lot of it. You look at the final scoreline, it was a 3-2 victory for the Bulldogs.
Right.
And it looked like smooth sailing once the second half started, but it was not, in fact. So the scoring started off in the first half through Sam Hamilton, and it was a very nice goal from him.
Mm.
It was a cross in, it hit off a defender, so no assist on the goal. But it was bouncing to Sam at the edge of the box, and he hit it on a half volley right into the side of the goal.
Ooh.
Keeper had no chance. It's his first goal of the season, first goal of his career.
Okay.
So what a way to start it off against Doan.
Props indeed.
And it was a pretty nice one as well. You go to the second half. It was second minute of the second half, really early on. One of our midfielders, Hugo Garrote, he got the ball out wide on the left side, played a really nice through ball to Jasper Hoffland, who got a touch on it. The goalie came out, rushed him. Jasper took a touch around the goalie and played it into the open goal. So really nice play from both of those guys to put us up 2-0. But then started getting a little scrappy.
Uh-oh.
Doan brought two goals back to make it 2-2.
You let them score two unanswered goals?
Mm-hmm. So it was 61st and 70th minute.
Oh, goodness.
Another goal. So back-to-back. It's tied 2-2 with 20 minutes left. And this was Doan's basically win-or-die game. They were right on the edge of making the playoffs. So they needed to win or tie to get the 8 seed.
Ooh.
For the tournament.
Right.
So they were trying to hang on for dear life with that 2-2 draw, because that would have sent them through.
Yep.
But then in the 79th minute, Jasper once again gets a through ball. This time it was a through ball from Oliver Benson.
Mm-hmm.
Through ball to him. Jasper's clean through on goal. He's about to score. Just the goalie to beat. But then a defender came from behind him and slide tackled him from behind. Missed the ball. So it's a foul.
Did he get a red card or a yellow card?
He got no card.
No card?
Yeah.
You can't be serious.
Unfortunately, I am.
Well, at least it was a penalty kick.
It was a penalty kick. I won't complain about the refs too much. You know, they called it. They gave the penalty. I think there was a bit of confusion on who actually did the foul, so that may be why they didn't give a card, because there were a couple guys around him, so they may not have known actually who did it.
Right.
From my opinion as a certified referee, I think for sure a yellow card in that situation.
Are you actually a certified referee, mm-hmm. though?
Yeah, I actually am. Wow. I referee games.
Okay.
Well, okay. I did some 2 weeks ago.
All right, my apologies. But fair enough.
Apology accepted. But yeah, so we got a penalty. One of our forwards, Richie Buschmeister, he scored the penalty kick, put us up 3-2, and then it was hang on for dear life after that. It was pretty much just me up top running around because Jasper got hurt, so I was in the game for the end of it. So I was just kind of running around trying to chase the ball down while everyone else sat around behind the goal. Or not behind the goal. In front of the goal,
yeah.
but behind midfield, and we ended up getting the win. Another big part of the victory, as always, Inigo Chavarria in our net, six saves on the day, faced 8 shots on goal, just gave up 2, neither of the goals he could have done anything on. One was a back post cross where, you know, he's not even near it because he's at the near post,
right,
to protect against shot. And then the first one was a deflection. So he was going to save it, but then deflected off one of our guys and went in. So nothing he could have done on those two. Really solid game from him. The Doan goalie had 5 saves, so he had a solid day as well. But yeah, it was a good game. I guess we also need to talk about the Dort game a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
We played against Dort on last Saturday. That was a good one as well. 2-0 win. We'll just roll through this one really quick. We didn't score in the first half, but then Jasper Hoffland, he got a goal in that game. It says on the stats it was Carlo Rodriguez with the assist, but it was actually Mattis Holnagel. It was a through ball from him in the direction of Carlo. Carlo stuck his foot out. The pass was a bit far in front of him, so he didn't actually touch it. Got to Jasper, who scored. They gave it to Carlo. It's fine. But we'll give Mattis his flowers as well.
Yeah, I give it to him.
And then Oliver Balas, OC, it was a goal from the edge of the box. It was came off a corner kick where I attempted a bicycle kick, hit the post. They cleared it to OC, who then scored the goal.
Mm.
So, all right. Well, what would have loved to say I scored a bicycle kick, but I did not. I got close, though.
You almost did, but...
I almost did. But OC put in the rebound, so everything's all good. We got the goal. Inigo had 5 saves in that game, didn't give up a single goal. Yeah, solid day for him. But moving on to women's soccer. They've had 2 thrillers in the last 2 games.
Yes, and I can say I worked to both of those games.
Yeah, why don't you talk a little bit about those 2 games?
So, first game against Dort. This game, what seemed a little bit of a scare for Concordia. I mean, first half, Dort gets the goal, and they up 1-0.
Yep.
Concordia does not score that first half, and then the second half, it looked like Dort was just playing defense that whole time. Kirsten Gardner couldn't get anything going because they were playing great defense. But then when he thought the game was almost over and saying that Concordia might get their second loss, Taylor Slaymaker hits a bomb from far out, hits the top of the goal post, bounces in to tie the game.
Yeah, I saw that goal on Twitter after the game happened. It was what we would call a screamer.
It was a screamer.
Man, it was about 30 yards out. She just smacks that ball, goes top left corner. Goalie has no chance.
Yeah, and the coach said, like, he said, he looked at her and said, shoot it. And she did, and it did that. But if you look at the stats of this game, Concordia outshot Dort 16-6.
Wow.
And then give credit to Dort's goalie. I mean, she had 7 saves, 1 in the first and 6 in the second half.
Dang.
So she was having herself a game that whole time. And that was, like, that game wasn't the best for Concordia, but they were fine with it because they still got points.
Yep.
But then, the night of to remember.
Yes.
Last night, the Doan game.
What a finish in that game.
What a finish. Ladies and gentlemen.
Walk us through this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you were not at that game or you were watching it live, you could see that this game was very important for Concordia. You win, you get the 2nd seed. You lose, you get the 5th seed. You tie, wow, you get the 4th seed. So either way, Concordia was going to make the GPAC tournament for the League of Soccer.
But if you lose, it's an away game first round.
Exactly. At first, the game was no scoring in the first half. None. Till the second half became a shooting fest.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, at the 72-minute mark, Doan scores.
Uh-oh.
Now, before I keep going, guess how many shots Doan had in total?
I'm going to say 4 or 5.
2.
Oh.
2 shots. And one of those shots was the goal.
Oh my gosh.
That's how insane that was, everything, because right there. I had to get that moment right there.
So you said they had one goal, they only had 2 shots in the whole game?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yes, but then that's scary real quick. Then we get midway through the 80th minute mark.
Oh, so we're like 10 minutes left in the game.
Yeah. So then guess who, then the star player on the team, Kirsten Gardner, gets a goal from Guadalupe Sanchez with the assist to tie the game 1-1. So coming in, Doan was only coming in to just play defense as well too.
Yeah, you think you go up, I'm looking at the stats right now, 72nd minute. was Doan's goal, you think, 18 minutes left, you just want to sit back and defend, hope for a win.
Exactly.
Because like you said, a win would have put them, would have kept them at, it's like, fifth place.
Yeah.
And we would have been fourth place, fifth place. Yeah.
We would have been to the fifth seed, and then tie would have been fourth seed.
Gotcha.
So, but then, within 11 seconds left, like basically before 11 seconds, we were at the 89 to the close to like the 89 minute mark. Doan gets like a free kick.
Doan has a free kick.
Yeah, Doan has a free kick.
Okay.
Deflected. Passes up Gardner one on one with her man, with her like one on one with her defender. Runs all the way, makes a move, and scores the goal.
Oh my gosh. Game winning
goal. She gets her second goal. With Savannah Andrews with the assist with 10 seconds left in the game.
So basically, Doan had a free kick with like 30 seconds left in the game.
Yep.
They hit it short. It got deflected out to Savannah Andrews.
Yep.
Who played the ball to Kirsten, who spun her defender.
It was one-on-one. It was just one-on-one.
Just her. That's a dangerous game to play if you're Doan.
Yeah.
And it seems to have bit them.
Yep.
So Kirsten spins the one defender, gets in behind and scores against the keeper.
Yep, and it's on Twitter too, of the game winner. And the whole Bulldog Nation was going crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
With 10 seconds left.
That's insane.
And that was a game. Concordia outshot Doan 19-2.
Wow.
That whole game. 9 in the first, 10 in the second.
So you can't say Concordia didn't deserve this one.
And that's what Nick Smith, the head coach, said, that they earned that win.
Yeah.
They earn or they deserve that win, out shooting your opponent 19-2, even though they couldn't get some of the goals going. But Kirsten Gardner got two of those goals to have the Bulldogs, officially now, clinch the number 2 seed in the GPAC tournament.
There we go. So we're talking about the GPAC tournament. You got the women's team, like you said, number 2 seed. They are going to face off against College of St. Mary in the first round, who are the 7 seed. And then the men's side are going to play against Hastings in the first round of the tournament as well, the 3 seed versus the 6 seed. So the times for those games, we've got the men's team. That's going to be on Saturday at 6 p.m. So you've got the football game at 1.
Yep.
Against Briarcliff. Then quickly following that one is going to be the men's soccer GPAC quarterfinal at 6 o'clock. Then you got to wait a little bit longer for the women's game. That's going to be on Tuesday, November 4th, against College of St. Mary, also at 6 p.m.
We got a lot of action. Now, before I keep going, how do you feel that you're now in the GPAC tournament now?
I'm excited for it. I've been here, it's my 3rd season, still have not won a GPAC title. Made it to the championship match last year. Fortunately lost to Hastings, so this is going to be, it's going to be a good day to get some payback against them. They came here last year and won the GPAC at our place. So now it'll feel good to knock them out here.
So we call it the revenge tour.
Revenge tour, yeah.
Well, quote unquote revenge tour.
Very Christian revenge.
Yes, very likely normal.
Very loving revenge.
Yes. Nothing.
No hate.
We respect every team that we go against.
Yep.
Except that one. You get that from me, but now obviously.
Who said that?
No, who said that? That would be me. Now that's a good way to get ready for. I like that mentality. Mm-hmm. Speaking of mentality. Basketball season starts.
Yes, so we've had the first couple games of the basketball season. We'll get started with the men's team.
Mm-hmm.
They've just had one game so far this year. That was against Graceland University. It was away at their place. And it was, unfortunately, a loss, but it was a close one. And it comes off of a really poor first half as well. So you look at it, it was in Lamoni, Iowa. Against Graceland, who was number 23 at the time of the game, number 3 seed in the country. You look at the first half, they outscored us 39-25. So really poor first half from us, only getting 25 points on the board. But then you come out of the halftime break and you score 44 points, 44-40 in the second half. So of course that leads to 69-79 in favor of Graceland. But I'm sure there's lots of good things you can take away from this game.
You can.
You look at some guys who performed really well. You have Dane Jacobson, put up a career-high 19 points. He played 36 minutes. He was 2 for 3 from 3-point range. Zach Kulis was shooting 50% from three. He had 14 points. And then Jackson Stuvey had 14 points as well. Logan Wilson had 9. We saw some action off the bench. We had 11 bench points. Tyler Herr with 6 of those, Garrett Johnson with 3, and then Jacob Dutzman with 2.
Okay.
And then Tate Overy got 2 points as well. So, of course, not the start you necessarily want. Now, it's not perfect by any means, but certainly something you can build off against, like I said, a good Graceland team. So, you know, we'll put this one behind us. They are going to be in Tabor, Kansas this weekend for the Tabor, this little Tabor tournament.
Okay.
Going to play, you know, Tabor College, because we're there. And then Wayland Baptist University, that'll be on Friday and Saturday, October 31st and November 1st. So good luck to our guys in that game. Then you look at the women's basketball team. And you were at the first game. Can you tell us a little bit about that blowout game?
That first game, I'm not even trying to be rude as much with it. I'm trying to be as respectful as much possible. It was a lights out moment. In the first half, I mean, before, Kokori was going against Kansas Christian College.
Yep.
And the score was 117-28.
Oh, wow.
In the first quarter, Kokori had scored 39-9. It was 39-9 in the first quarter. What was over.
That's awkward.
Concordia was like shooting lights out with it, obviously, you know, on rebound wise. They were like 47.4% away from the field. They were 27.9 from three, mm-hmm. and then 78.98 on the free throws. Like they were just
solid shooting day.
Solid shooting. And then you have obviously Aaliyah Roth, who had herself a day, 16 points.
She's a freshman as well.
Yep, 16 points.
Her first game.
12 minutes. 12 minutes, 16 points. Perfect from three. Perfect from free throws. And she was 5 of 8 with her shots.
Wow, impressive.
It was a shootout game. I mean, Concordia was playing lights out like the way to start the season as well. I mean, you're going against a team like that to build momentum. And then they go away on the road and play Graceland and won 80-59.
Yeah, again, Graceland's not a bad team. We ended up, like you said, beating them 80-59. We outscored them in every quarter. We were 24, 22, 13, and 21. It was very close for the first little bit of the first half. You know, very close at end of the first quarter, 24-23. It was tight for the first little bit of the second quarter, but then we pulled away right before halftime and then never looked back after that. Shooting was a bit worse in this game than in the previous one. As a team, it was just about 39% from the field, 23% from three, 67% from the free throw line. But we had some solid individual performances in this one as well. Kristen Wieselmeyer, the senior, she had 19 points in 32 minutes. Bree Bunting had 15 points. We had Sammy Liu with 8 points. Raylan Kelty with 10 points. Ayla Roth with 5 points, but again, she only had 13 minutes. She was a starter in this one. A lot of points off the bench as well. 23 points coming from the substitutes. Lily Hoffman with 3. Sarah Harley with 6. Gabrielle Wagner with 6. Savannah Butterfield with 6. And then looks like Juliana Jones with 2.
Now, before we keep going, obviously, Raylan Kelty, right?
Yep.
She actually had a double-double.
Oh, there you go.
She had 15 rebounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And 10 points in this game against Graceland. That's a double-double. That's a clear definition of a double-double.
Well done. And then she was getting close to a triple-double off the steal count.
About four away. We were close. She had 6 steals. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, 10 points, 6 steals, 4 assists, 15 rebounds. Ten of them were defensive rebounds, and 5 of them were offensive rebounds.
Nice.
So that's a good stat line right there for her.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at those steal numbers, it was 23 as a team in this game. The previous game, it was 29. So you think you're just taking away 52 possessions from the other team without them ever having a chance at a shot.
Exactly.
So now, if you can keep those numbers up, you'll win a lot of games.
Yeah. Now, they get a break this week, mm-hmm. for sure. But their next game is going to be at Cal Classic here at Concordia against Arizona Christian University on Friday. Then Mid-America
Nazarene.
Mid-America Nazarene on Saturday 8th. And here's the thing. I am doing play-by-play commentary on that one. I may be having a little bit of a special guest with me doing that as well.
I may be doing some play-by-play as well. You might see the Talking Dogs squad commentating on November 8th for the Cattle Classic. We'll have the women's game.
Yep.
As you said, Mid-America Nazarene. You'll also have us against Clark University for the men's team on November 8th.
It's going to be a fun...
It'll be a fun day. Make sure you tune in to those two games and all of the Cattle Classic games. Yeah, it's always a good time. Make sure if you're coming in person, bring some canned food because the Cattle Classic is also a food drive.
Oh, and yeah.
So if you think of the normal admission prices, bring that amount of money in canned food items. So I think it's for Concordia students. They do charge admission for this one because it's a fundraiser. So bring 6 cans of food if you're a Concordia student, and they'll let you right in.
Yep. But the thing is, not for us, because obviously we're going to be working the game.
Yeah, we can bring some canned food as well.
We'll do that regardless. I'm still going to do that. Now, before we get ready to wrap this thing up, cross country is getting ready for their GPAC conference next week. They just finished their last indoor last cross country meet last week.
Yes, last one before the GPAC cross country meet, and we had 2 incredible individual performances in this one.
Absolutely.
We look at our returning 2025 All-American from last year, Vaughn Hendrickson. He was an All-American as a freshman, coming back as a sophomore this year. He had a bit of a rough start to the season, I'll be honest. He was not running his best. He was, at some points, barely making the top 10 for us.
Mm.
But, man, is he back.
He is back.
He is so back.
To be honest, I think he never left.
I think he might have just been on a little vacation.
I think he was a little bit vacation plus anyway. It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
You got to win in November.
So,
look at his time. It's an 8K, so pretty much 5 miles. 24:49.5, which comes out to a 4:59 pace. 4 minutes, 59 seconds per mile for 5 miles.
He was moving.
Yes, for third place overall. Just an incredible performance from him. Only lost to 2 guys. GPAC runner of the week. What else can you ask from the guy?
Yeah, and we actually have another GPAC runner of the week from the women's side. So tell me more about that one, Kyle.
Yeah, Keely Green. Same result as Vaughn. Third place. Only lost to 2 people. It was a 6K. So she ran that in 21:34.6, which comes out to 5:47.3 per mile. She ran 5:47 a mile for 3.5 miles.
Both of them were moving.
I know we couldn't do that.
I couldn't agree that regardless. Bro, I'm a triple jumper.
Relay that thing and she'd still beat us.
Pretty much. I think if we had like maybe a head start a little bit, she probably would catch up to us. Not even trying to disrespect our speed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But still.
She's just built different.
She is built different. So is Vaughn.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, she was the women's GPAC runner of the week. So incredible from her to do that. You look at just a couple more things from the men's side. Trey Robertson was really solid on the day as well. He came in 15th place, the 25:10. Very tight to that top 5, actually. So he 25:10 for 15th place. If you look at 5th place, 24:59. So he was only 11 seconds off of top 5. You look at the other GPAC people. Vaughn was the top guy for all GPAC runners in this one. The next highest GPAC runner was from Doan, the 25:02.
Okay.
So Trey was only 8 seconds behind him. And if you guys remember back to GPAC last season, Vaughn and Trey went 1-2. They swept the top 2.
Yes.
So
I say they can get it done again this year.
So leading up to this race, I was thinking, okay, Trey, he has a shot to repeat, get top 2. But I was like, man, Vaughn, I don't know if he can do it this year. He can do it this year.
I doubted him. Vaughn, how dare
and,
you?
And he's showed me the error of my ways.
I need an apology right here, right now.
A written apology, it's coming. But he's back, and he's ready to take on the GPAC.
He had never left, my friend.
He never left.
He started slow, but he started cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stay on with as my teammate right there.
I think Vaughn's motto's got to be fast and steady wins the race.
Same thing with Keely Gray, even though she's been being consistent on most of
her. She's been very consistent.
Consistent as well.
She got sick for a week, came back, and was right back at it.
Exactly.
And you know what I think? Better. It's actually great to get sick in the middle of the season if you can come back from it quickly, because then you're not going to get sick twice in a season. You know.
I mean, it's possible, but it's not.
It's possible, but it doesn't really happen. So that's like rare. I think she is coming back ready to go for GPAC, ready to go for nationals, and I'm excited to see what these teams can do.
Yeah, and their conference is going to be on the same day as the Cattle Classic. So if you are not going to be there for the basketball game, obviously tune in for the cross-country GPAC conference meet as well.
Yeah, and it's really not that far away, actually. It's at the same place. GPAC is going to be at the same place as their last meet. It's going to be at Mahoney State Park in Ashland, Nebraska. So it's really only like an hour away from here. So if you really want to go, it's not that far. I doubt they charge admission. It's a cross-country race.
It's a cross-country race. I mean, a lot of teammates are going to be there. So, yeah. And I know some of my teammates are going to be there for that moment with it. Well, me and you, we're going to be doing our Cal Conference things. So it's going to be a week of interesting things here in Concordia.
It'll be a fun week. So that is all from us this week on Season 3, Episode 10 of Talkin' Dogs. Make sure you follow us at cunesower.com/podcasts. And on Spotify, leave a comment there. We love to hear your comments. We'll respond to every comment you send us.
Exactly.
But for now, from Kyle Ulbrich, Aaron Spivey, and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!